love Might Delete Later.
I bloody hope you do. You can support our show by using the new Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there is no regular commitment.
Just smash that link in the show description and support us now so we can keep making this podcast.
Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to Might Delete Later, the show where we look at a guest's first, worst and best social media posts, among other things, with me, Stevie.
And me, Gina.
And that's all Gina will be saying. although we share many traits, that me and Gina, namely being sisters and having come out of the same woman, we have our mom, just for clarity. We have very, very different opinions on social media. For example, I do despise it.
Yeah, and I absolutely love it. Almost as much as I love Andrew Hunter Murray, our guest in this episode.
He was so great. He's like a drink of spring water. I'm using the past tense because we recorded this episode pre-lockdown. Andy, our guest, is one of those people who is very, very good at very many things. So he is a QI elf, so he knows every fact ever. And he hosts the QI No Such Thing as a Fish podcast, as well as the Private Eye podcast, Page 94. He also writes a Private Eye. He's in the West End improv smash hit show, Ostentatious, and recently became a Sunday Times bestselling author with his debut novel, The Last Day. Okay, Andy, that was actually too much.
Good Lord, Andrew. Also, you're obviously a massive fan. What's so great about Andy's social media is that he's created this kind of adorable community on Twitter.
How do you pronounce it? Twitter.
On Twitter. Of people who just love jokes and love him, and it's a really lovely little place to be, and I don't really know how he's done it. There's absolutely no negativity.
No, I want this. Also, he admits to deleting tweets in this episode, which I really like. I feel good about how often I do that as well. Have a listen, and don't forget to check out our Instagram at Might Delete Later Pod to see the posts Andy mentions.
Hello, Andy.
Hi.
I'm gonna call you Andy.
Yeah, sure.
Because we know each other.
We know each other.
Yeah, to an extent, but Andy's a big famous author now. So now he's just an inspiration rather than a friend. So we're going to start off with doing what we delete each week. So
yes. First,
Gina, sister of mine, loins, what would you...
Loins.
Gina came out of my loins. What would
I delete
you delete?
That comment. This week, I would delete quicksand.
Okay, that's...
And yeah. I'll tell you for why. Because when I was younger, I had nights and nights and nights of nightmares about the idea that quicksand was going to be like a real problem when I was older.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
You never told me
that. 90s films used to make quicksand seem like this thing that was like big in the world and it was really dangerous.
You'd go on holiday and then the moment you were like, maybe I'll go down this, then you were in quicksand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Terrified of quicksand. And I saw a clip yesterday of a woman up to her waist in quicksand in real life on TikTok, and she showed like a crowd of people how you get out of it, and she couldn't move her legs, like she literally couldn't get out, and she showed how you get out of it cleverly, and I was like, if I'd had that video when I was 9.
Wait, how did she get out of it cleverly? I'm afraid you're gonna have to explain.
So you have to move one leg real fast in circles, and it creates like an air suction, like a vacuum around your foot, so you can pull it out. But then once you've got the one leg out, you can't get the other one out. Yeah, so you have to lean on your knee.
Okay.
Put all your weight onto your knee and then do the same with the other one. Keep bringing the out, do the same with the other one. So you basically flap one leg to get like a vacuum. But quicksand to me was like terrifying when I was younger. And I still, even now when I think about it, it fills me with fear because I was so scared it would like kill me when I was older. So wow. I would delete quicksand just because I think it caused a lot of trauma to kids in the 90s.
Okay, that's a really strong one.
I'm really, thank you so much.
Mine's really boring.
Okay, good.
But it's just like a thing that it's more like a thing in my life.
The patriarchy.
You know what? It actually is to do with the patriarchy.
So
a bit. Isn't everything. Or maybe, actually, Andy, you'll be able to maybe say if this is true. Did men used to wear heels?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, use it like a long time ago.
Yeah, like a long time ago. Not like in 2015.
Not like on Wednesday.
I mean,
to be honest,
all men can wear heels. You know, that's the lovely world we live in.
True.
But generally, it's a woman thing. It has been for so long. Well, sometimes it is, isn't it? No, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it shouldn't be and it isn't. But oh my God. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Right. All I'm saying is, when I was younger, and I'm maybe like up until like 2 years ago, I wore heels all the time.
Yeah.
And now trainers are cool. And I've been like, cool, I'll wear trainers. And now I'm so much more comfortable. Bought a pair of heels the other day and I don't actually want it anymore.
You don't
like,
have
I don't
to
want
wear
them anymore. And then, yes, and then I realised, because then I was like, well, what am I going to wear to the Brits?
We're not invited.
I'm not
but
invited.
What would we wear?
It was fine, and then I didn't have to wear them. But like, what if, or like a wedding? And then I was like, well, I've been to weddings, and I've worn like my nice, cool flat shoes. I'm like, God damn it, this
delete
is good.
Heels.
So I'm gonna delete heels. But if you want to wear them as a form of self-expression,
hun, babe, you're deleting them, babe. It's fine.
I'm deleting them, but not for everyone else.
Yeah,
especially for men. Men, please wear heels.
Ideal.
So for that to be chilled out, what would you delete?
Oh,
Andrew Hunter-Murray.
I can't think of anything edgy to delete, you know,
that's
anything
fine,
which
yeah.
is much that's loved okay. by everybody. So I'll just pick something that everyone probably has experienced, but we haven't quite called out yet. So how about the feeling of being at a show and watching something, but while you're coming down with something, do you know that kind of flaggy, horrible feeling where you think, I'm meant to be enjoying this purely, but you've got a big glass of orange juice, another big glass of water, and you know that this was a mistake to do, but you're here. And
that like general malaise, like a fog on you.
There's a fear sometimes that I will, when I'm coming down swinging a show, and you're sat quite close to people, aren't you? And like that, I'll make a noise like or something. Everyone will be like, "That's disgusting. You should leave." Or you know, when you're coughing, you can't stop coughing, and you're aware that it's annoying, but you're really enjoying the show.
Oh, the worst!
I
the worst.
Stand that.
I always hate those people, and then I am that person. And I'm like, "Why are you being so mean? It's not my fault."
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's a good one.
I wanted to ask you what you feel, what your opinion is on social media. Like, do you like it? Do you not like it? What's your kind of vague
relationship with it?
It's mixed. So I really like being on there. I like thinking of a joke, saying that joke, and then people writing back with normally better jokes off the back of it.
Yes.
That's a very exciting
your
experience.
Your Twitter is like excellent. Like, and it's been excellent for ages.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's just very funny, and it's also, like, it's very light, and, like, and you're always, like, a poke fun at a difficult thing that's happening. Everyone's like, there's Andy, just lightening
our lives smiley.
Fundamentally, like, dancing around the volcano. Not trying to do anything about the volcano, not getting any closer than he needs to, but he's very much present, passing commentary on the funny things the love is doing. Yeah.
He's done a pun on it. He's done a lot of a pun.
So, you know, it's not... I wouldn't describe it as much of a contribution to... any kind of serious discussion. But there we go. If it's a tiny, tiny lance in the side of the boil of modern life, I guess.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What a phrase,
that
man.
That is a great...
That's why you should follow me on Twitter.
Yeah, you should... At Andrew Hunter M.
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but you, you tweet... You're more of a tweeter, aren't you? Like, you...
Instagrammer or
Facebook. Yeah, yeah. No,
TikTok.
I did join Instagram... I'm not joining TikTok. Come on.
It's absurd.
I'd be arrested if I tried to go on TikTok.
That would be good. I'd like to see that.
It'd
be fun.
Yeah, no, I did join Instagram for about 5 minutes, and then I realised it's not for me.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't come across beauty often enough in my day-to-day life to photograph it, and I don't have the impulse to create more beauty for other people. Mm-hmm. And I don't especially like looking at more beautiful surroundings than me.
I feel you.
Yeah, so for all these reasons, Instagram is
and
not
And you're
the
a words
thing.
Man as well.
Yes,
like you're a words guy, so like Twitter's perfect for you.
If you could just write long captions in Instagram and have that as the picture.
And no picture.
And no picture.
I mean, that would just be a blog, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Look, Andy, you should start a blog.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard about them. You've not got enough on.
But so you, the people that respond to you are quite... You don't tend to get a lot of shit, do you?
No.
That's joy.
That's a really nice thing. I mean, people who follow me either follow me because they listen to the podcast that I'm part of, No Such Thing as a Fish, or they read Private Eye, or they like Ostentatious. I mean, these are all...
positive things. Happy.
They're all relatively positive. Yeah, they're all quite nice. And so you get people just chipping in with great extra jokes. Oh, and they are, I mean it, they genuinely are better than the ones I come up with. You know, people take the next logical step in the joke and you find yourself thinking, oh, why didn't I write that? Well, maybe I had to walk so they could run.
How kind you are, you know?
Yeah, just take them on for the team.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But it is a really, really nice feeling doing that. And weirdly, the times I like it less are sometimes times where I've written something that's been much more successful and then you are reminded of what Twitter really is, which is this huge fog of millions and millions of people, and you have no control anymore over the thing which has been a bit more successful than usual, and then you will have thousands of people piling in telling you that you're wrong or that you've fucked up somehow, and that
because you've created like a nice little community of people that sort of often feel and act on Twitter the same way as you do, like you know, kind of
they get you and you get them, and it's kind of a nice space to be in.
You're all friends.
It's a
and then when you burst that bubble, when that bubble gets burst by, like, it's almost like you burst the skin of it, and then like loads of other people come in, you're like, oh no, this was really nice a second ago, why are you all ruining it?
We were in a very agreeable drawing room and everyone had a drink, whatever they like, we were just trading some aperçu here and there, and then suddenly the walls have collapsed. They've just fallen out like in an old Hollywood film.
Arrived.
Yeah, and millions of people are here just shouting. Yeah.
Yes.
It's very hard. It is hard. I mean, I spend most of my time in the just shouting part, so I really would like to be in this part.
In the kind of like nice, Andy's world.
I'm just going to spend more time there, really.
Andy's town.
Yeah,
Andy's
world. I don't know why, I don't know how it's ended up like that. Because I do, reading my own timeline, I sometimes worry that I'm a very negative person. If I read back over my tweets from the last few weeks, I think, who's this bastard?
Really?
You know, why are you so miserable?
You're just being like, yeah, I've got a book out.
I mean, the last few weeks, I have exclusively been saying I've got a book out, which I think is a special kind of hell for my followers. So, you know. But then again, it's the other really comforting thing is how little you matter on Twitter, because I've been tweeting pretty much every day. Hey guys, I've got a book out. It's about this. Please, please buy it. It's, you know, hope you like it and all this stuff. And tweeting bits of good news and stuff that have come in. And then I saw a real life friend the other day, who we follow each other on Twitter, and she said, oh, have you written a book or something? I mean, the extent of penetration of her consciousness was so minor, even though she and I are both relatively online quite a lot. And it just goes to show, no one else is really paying much attention.
See, this
so
is
don't
comforting.
Worry.
Helpful, yes, so I find that very comforting.
Wrong or whatever.
And I think there's kind of often there's two types of people who will find that really like difficult, because okay, well that means I'm irrelevant, or that means I'm not doing enough, or whatever. And then there's someone who will go, well, actually, it's kind of the feeling like when you lie on the floor and you look at the stars and you go, oh, I'm actually quite small, so it's all kind of okay.
But it's a bit like that. Some people I found find that I look at the stars when I'm like, I look at the stars when I need like a bit of a boost. Like, what sort of woman am I? And also, I live in London, so you can't see them. But
yeah, you can't.
Whenever I do, I get really like, oh wow. Yes, I'm so small and all of that, and that helps. But yeah, I know people who that completely freaks them out.
Blows their mind.
And they hate looking at the sky and they hate thinking about the moon and they hate. And I'm like, but why wouldn't you think about
the scale of it scares you? Whereas, yeah, on social media, if you can do that and you can find comfort in that, then that's actually really good, because people are often too worried about the fact that they're not doing enough or they're not big enough or whatever.
Well, I delete, like we said in our first episode about how, like, I just delete tweets all the time because I'm like, oh, it didn't do very well. It's stupid. Everyone thinks I'm stupid.
Oh, I do that. I do that all the time.
You delete tweets.
I do.
See? We all are the same.
I didn't think you deleted tweets. I just thought you just constantly just being like, just
churning out bangers.
No.
Every day you churn out bangers.
You thought you were honking out the chonkers.
I did.
24/7.
Honking out the chonkers.
See, but not all of us are honking out the chonkers 24/7.
How often do you think you delete tweets?
Every couple of weeks, I might tweet something. And if that's the other lovely thing is, if you're trying to write comedy, you instantly know whether something's funny enough or not, because people will not respond
not
if
like
it's
it.
Not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I normally tweet if I think I haven't quite nailed the joke.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I think, actually, it's not very funny.
Yeah.
And then I just do what the next best thing, which is to delete the joke and pretend I never made it.
I think that's fine.
I wish we could do that in conversations. You know, sometimes when like it all goes quiet and then you say
great.
Something and you're like, absolutely
so
not. So we're going to do your three posts.
Oh, okay.
Now, the first tweet, Gina the creep. She knows how to hack into people's Twitter.
Well, yeah, I thought this was impressive, but it's actually kind of fucking weird, isn't it?
Gina has figured out some sort of code or something. I mean, it's public knowledge. It's fine.
Yeah.
She can find your tweet very
quickly.
You've
just been scrolling for a day.
I've been scrolling, since 2011 when you joined Twitter.
I've just seen...
So the first tweet you tweeted was...
What day was it? Sorry.
So it was June 11th, 2011.
I'm just trying to think if there was anything...
In your life at that time.
Well, it was a couple of months after... Wills and Kate got married, of course.
Oh, so yes, right.
I was probably still on the come down from that, I imagine. And...
Well, yeah. We all. My God, it blew my mind that. So, I was not
into Hitler's birthday was when they got married.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, yeah.
Some more of this excellent knowledge.
And they said in the press release that was explicitly why they'd chosen that day, of course. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Just to really commemorate it.
Also, so, what did you start with?
This is a classic Andrew tweet, I think. It says, a QI fact. The word Gatwick literally means farms where goats are kept. Something to consider as you're kept waiting for your flight.
Ah.
Ah, etymology. So, the joy of etymology
so
in your
you
first tweet.
You joined Twitter and you were very much writing for QI at the time and stuff. Right, so that, look, what a good knowledge of your brand.
Yeah.
Because straight off you're the only person that we've spoken to out of all of the guests who had any engagement with their first tweet. Like, you've got a like, three retweets and two replies, which in 2011 is basically viral. Like, you went viral
because no one was on Twitter then.
See, I mean, that probably is the point at which I got hooked. That those three yes! retweets, what you see there is the needle going in. Yeah.
The slapping
and
the
then,
arm.
Then here we are.
One of my first tweets was I added somebody, a friend, and said, like, Star Trek is gash.
That was her first tweet.
But I added a friend and they didn't reply. Like,
it's that's very hard to get engagement on the first tweet.
It's so hard to get engagement with people. I think I used to go out with him for a man. Maybe that's why. But like, insane. Really, really good. And so, and what was Andy tweeting regular QI business or was
no,
there a bit of
this
just
wasn't,
like musings?
This doesn't seem to be like a theme with you at first, which I thought it might have been. But you were just, you seemed to have it, you were having like lovely conversations with people.
Oh, who with?
Like, I don't know who this, Daniel Roberts. As usual, your churlishness fills my heart with sorrow and it was supposed to be a larky online playpen. Sigh. You're having all these kind of conversations between your friends, which is really like, it just sounds like you were using social media exactly as it should have been used from the bat, instead of just tweeting like what you were doing and what you were eating, which is what most of us were doing at the very beginning.
Yeah, because I didn't know how to, did you have an, why did you join Twitter? Like, what do you remember?
I think a few of the other QI elves were on Twitter. And if that was in June, it might have been when we were actually filming the series.
Right,
and it would have been, so we used to film in the London studios in Waterloo. Mm. And there would be a main gallery where the producer sits and the director and the sound and lights are in different wings and it's all really, you know, Starship Enterprise cool technology and also properly 70s kit in there. But then there's a little gallery behind that main gallery where the elves would sit. We're the elves are the researchers for QI.
I mean, I just love that so much. That's like a joyful, magical thing.
Yeah, it was like a little gallery in the Muppet Show, basically. And you'd just look back and see us kind of flailing around and having a good time and occasionally checking a fact as we were filming a show. And so I think they persuaded me to join in that moment, so because a few of my colleagues were on it, it was a fun thing. And
so you had other people to look at and be like, oh, that's what they're, so that's how they're using it.
We now know that 75% of people use Twitter for the news. So it's now just the world's biggest news site.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And that comes from, that doesn't come from platforms. That comes from like, that comes from going onto Twitter and being like, I now have access to like the journalists and the analysts who are writing the pieces, so I can just go there straight instead of waiting for the spin that a paper's going to put on it. So like, it makes sense that it's a news site now.
Yeah.
Whereas then it used to be, I guess, just like great voices and a few of the great voices making you laugh. Mm. Now it's become far more serious.
Or top facts like you were churning out.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you have a tweet that you regret posting?
I mean, all the ones that are not funny enough.
That you deleted.
I regret those.
A little moment for the ghost tweets.
Very sad. I don't regret too much. I regret sometimes writing things about my personal life. But sometimes it's just an ill-judged knob gag. And I think... I don't think it's seemly.
For a band.
Yeah. We are the ill-judged knob gags. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like excellent. Yeah.
So sometimes when I write something a bit,
fruity?
A bit fruity.
I shouldn't put words in your mouth because you weren't going to say fruity.
Well, we're saying it now. So if there's a fruity tweet out there, I'll take it out of the punnet and I'll have a look at it. And even if I'll give it a rinse and
Peel it.
God, it's getting worse. And then I'll still chuck it away. So normally, yeah. Although I did find a joke I made about a diseased pickle that was a very easy knob gag, and that apparently survived the cult because it got enough likes.
Oh, okay. There we go. So yeah. You're like, even if I don't really like it, it doesn't matter because people engaged.
I'm afraid so.
A diseased pickle. Yeah. Knob
That's how
gag.
We all feel.
That was
It was a New York Times headline, and the headline was, "It looks like a diseased pickle, but looks can be deceiving." And my tweet was basically just retweeting that and going, look.
Any more shame ones, or should we move on?
Okay, so shame is a bit of a strong word, isn't it? But the best any tweet I ever had did was when, is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When Donald Trump first visited the UK as president, and I wrote a silly joke which just said, "Dear America, we have your president. If you don't send us $30 million in unmarked bills by 2000 hours on Friday, we will let him return to you." So, and that went really nuts because, you know, sometimes through no fault or intention of your own, something just catches the wind a bit. Yeah. And then J.K. Rowling retweeted it, felt like a benediction sort of descending, like a big clouds parted, this big Twitter hand came down, gave me a thumbs up.
I bet then your mentions went insane.
They went for about a week or two afterwards. Wow. They were just totally nuts. And that was very, very delightful and fun. And, you know, and I spent far too long reading all the replies, but there we go. Including several hundred people saying, "I think you mean we'll keep him." You know,
I find that quite stressful sometimes because it makes me be like, "Oh, no one understands jokes," and I get quite like down about the like majority of people not getting.
So yeah. Get it, yeah.
But why did you not like that tweet?
Well, I like that one, and then a year later. He came back to the UK and I sort of retweeted it with a little update saying, "Well, I've raised the ransom this time." And I just felt that was a bit of a dog returning to his vomit kind of.
Did J.K. Rowling not retweet that?
No.
Maybe that's why you're like, "Oh, this one didn't work because J.K. Rowling didn't retweet it." If that is the level
now.
If it
had gone crazy, do you honestly think if that had gone like just as viral as the first one, would you have felt like that?
I still think there would have been a little tang of shame at the heart of it because we're meant to be moving forwards and looking forwards.
God, but sometimes it's exhausting making new content all the time.
I agree.
Fresh content is so hard to mine.
Smelt.
You feel like you're constantly smelting, and I get very recently I've been very like overwhelmed by how much, like you just said then, like you tweet pretty much every day. I probably tweet like twice a week, so I'm like, this, do you want this?
But isn't it interesting how you can make a joke that goes so well and everyone loves it, and then when you retweet it you're like, yeah, but I already tweeted that. Yeah, but comedians are going and telling jokes, the same jokes in different venues.
True.
And doing, so but why is that different? But it makes you feel like you should better every time.
Yeah, because other people are
I can do better than that. I've already tweeted that. Yeah, but
and
it's
your
funny
job is
new
to
people
come
are probably
up with stuff
seeing
all the
it
time as well. Your job, you were constantly coming up with things and like new, like, you know, for all of your writing jobs that you
So it's weird. And you know, Private Eye sometimes has jokes that are 50 or 60 years old, and that's fine. You know?
Yeah, they're still funny. They're great. Yeah.
So why is it? I don't know. I do sometimes see other comedians, and I'll name no names here, who retweet former gags of theirs, and I always look a bit down my nose at those.
Understood.
Those tweets. I think, come along now, my friend.
Yeah. Come along now, my friend.
We've eaten this pasty once before, and
please,
it was very, very yummy that time, but now it's a little cold.
Oh, that's
a
good
analogy. It's been in your mouth.
Yes.
Like it's already been in your mouth.
It's been in your mouth.
Don't spit it back out at me.
No, exactly.
Well, then, to end on a high, well, end on a high, because we haven't finished, but like,
to regain some momentum.
Momentum after we've completely dropped off the edge of a cliff there. What tweets are you proud of?
Well, as I think I've made clear, the one that J.K. Rowling signalled that she liked. Normally, and yeah, Pride is another weird one because, again, I treat it as it's such a, not a job, but it is, it's just a thing every day that, it's not, the ones I'm really proud of are the ones where you think of something and you write it as quickly as you can because you think, oh, I really hope no one else has thought of this. And then, and those are so satisfying. And then when the, if they take off or enough people, if they prompt lots of different reactions, that's when I'm sitting for the next half an hour after posting the tweet, reading people's replies and thinking, oh my God, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're in a writer's room, basically. Yeah. It really feels like that. So there was one which was, I think it was just about, Boris hadn't become Prime Minister yet, but it was looking like a dead cert. And I read a thing, and it was, again, these are all just gags, but it was, to prove that Boris Johnson is fit to be Prime Minister, please join my rally today. We meet at noon in the middle of the Garden Bridge. So, Garden Bridge. For any, you know, for anyone who wasn't following the Garden Bridge story, which is readable, it's not a real bridge.
It doesn't exist.
It was one of these mad fucking nonsense plans that he just screams every so often.
It was expensive. Am I right in saying, like, they also pumped money into it before, like, and it didn't even work?
I think it might have been 30 or 40 million quid.
I mean, it didn't even happen.
Sort of feasibility studies and all of this stuff. And then it, you know, didn't happen, fell through, as it were. So anyway, but that was, so I wrote that, and I even remember where I was when I was
really
walking. I was on a long walk through London, just from A to B, and I just thought of that, banged it out. And then, you know, you sort of have a little peek a few minutes later.
Yes, it's because you know the rate, because if it's like, I've got like, after 5 minutes, if I've got 20 likes, I am flying.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas if there's one, we're in delete territory, because it's like, completely. Well, it hasn't been caught up immediately.
And because you know how this moves, and you also know the algorithm, and if it's not responding in the first 5 minutes, you know it's probably not going to.
Right.
Anyway, go on.
And so people had taken it and run with it, and people were replying saying, my flight's a bit delayed, but I should be flying into the Boris airport quite soon.
Oh,
another one of
people.
His mad plans. And then someone else saying, well, I'm trying to get the Boris bridge over from Northern Ireland, and, you know, or the Boris, I'm coming in on a zip line. All these stupid things that Boris had proposed or been caught up in, or all of these things, they all just, everyone just kind of piled in, and it became this lovely fiesta of replies.
Oh.
And when people write saying, the replies to this are great, that's almost nicer than this is a great tweet, because you think,
started a thing rather than you just like, people, you know, are just responding to one tweet.
When you look at, I always think the test of a person or like a test of someone's work is when you like look at the person. Okay, it could be anyone, it could be like journalists, whatever. Let's take Piers Morgan as an example, because he is the most obvious example.
And
you look about the company they keep, so like who's in their comments, who's retweeting them and stuff. You get a really good idea of what the community is they've created and what that community feels like. It's like you've created the nicest
the most
community.
Lovely. Whereas
you're
like,
basically in a writer's room online. I think that's very
rare. I mean, and that is not so, like, look, I've mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. I did one tweet that went viral. It was about bread. One tweet. And it was about bread, and it was about how bread does
Come
not...
Come on, give it to us, yeah.
Well, I've already read it out on the podcast, but I've not... Right, so basically it was about how... it's lovely how when... It's something like, it's lovely how when you buy some bread, you've got to eat it within 3 days. Bread for sandwiches, bread for the morning, bread for toast. Make bread as a hat. Make a bread friend called Bread and watch Bread with it or something. and so it's a bit silly. But then no one picked it up and ran with it. Everyone was just like... freeze your bread. And I was like, oh, what?
It went viral, but all the responses.
Like, I want you to come up with other things we could make out of bread. Mm. Let's do some bread puns. Let's riff, guys. Riff with me. Riff. And then no one... And it's because I haven't created, like, a community. I just kind of, like, tweet out silly things. Sometimes they get picked up, sometimes they don't.
Mm.
But, you've really, like, you know your audience really well.
Yes.
And, like, it's...
That is a very... If I used to work in social media and hire influencers in advertising. Oh, wow. Like, I worked as a social media manager and we did full-scale campaigns and, like... That is such a sign of understanding the people that are around you. That's why you get so much engagement, and that's why, like, all the things you've done as well, like, how has social media been for your book? I imagine it's been really helpful because those people have been with you for a long time. And and also, like, you play together. Like, you have a laugh together. They feel like they know you. So that really helps when you start to do other things as well.
I think so, yeah. It's made me feel a bit less bad about self-promotion, which is, you know, people can feel very vexed or conflicted about it.
Yeah.
And I decided... I've kind of made a conscious decision not to be too worried about that, because I've loved the process of writing the book, and now I'm loving telling people about it and saying, I think this is a cracking book, and I hope you like it if you decide to pick it up, and I hope you do. So that has been...
It is cracking.
Thank you.
I haven't said that, but I will. Yeah.
But that has been really fun, and just telling people about the different stages of it is really interesting, because I'm not claiming it's kind of educational about publishing or anything, but it's very interesting, the journey from, you know, a Word document to something in a shop.
Yeah. Mm. What's so nice is that your audience have been like, yeah, we want to see Andy write that. Yeah. Yeah. They've not been like, sorry, I don't understand what does this mean for your brand? Because it's so strong. Like, you're just a good writer, and people are like, really like the way you write your tweets. So they're like, I'll read more of those stuck together.
That's really
makes you feel good, doesn't it, about social media when you have a community like that? Like, it makes me feel really happy to hear about people riffing on jokes and stuff with the side I see, which is activism, and like, why have you got plastic bags in your house? And you're like, I just want to go to sleep. So, like, it makes me feel happy and good about the world.
So funny. So
I sort of don't write enough activism tweets. I don't write many. That's the thing. I occasionally tweet about climate related things, and that's partly because the book is climate related, and I'm reading a lot more about it.
But you do that through jokes. You know what I mean? Like, there are different ways that you can like discuss or work through things like Trump and the ridiculous election
change
that we had and all of that, through kind of like light humour, and then that's the way of doing it. That's one way of doing it anyway.
Yeah, it can feel completely trivial in the bad sense of the word. It can feel that you're not doing anything at all, and that we are all just talking to each other.
Echo chamber,
And actually, there's a book that's about to come out in America, which I'm really looking forward to. It's about the difference between political hobbyism, which is normally something done by people, and often men, weirdly, in the middle classes, who are on Twitter and on news websites for 2 or 3 hours a day, that it's so interesting to them, and they follow it all. But that the difference between doing that and the actual process of politics, which is gaining power in order to carry out the ideas that you've had and that you think are important, saying that this latter thing, the book's thesis is that this latter thing is the more important thing.
Yes.
It firstly makes you more empowered, and secondly, it is more important for your local community. It will have more effect.
More of an impact.
Tweeting some stuff out.
You organising one letter pick a year is more important than you spending 2 hours a day reading the news.
Yes,
it will make you feel better, probably, too.
Yeah.
So I think with Twitter there is a risk that I'm just doing the former thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a good answer to that, apart from to
try
and balance
it
out with a bit more engagement. I've been trying to work out what
and
I
also,
want to do.
And also, let's be honest as well. When we think about like societal issues like climate change or politics or whatever, I've worked in this space talking about this stuff for a long time, and I think we always think, okay, I have to get out there and like change the law or like go and do a list pick or whatever. But talking about those issues, like you've said, you touched on it in the book, it's part of, there's a theme about climate change in the book, right? So touching on that issue in a storytelling narrative is actually how you open up people's minds and like hearts to ideas.
That's
like
true,
stories
yeah.
really open up people to things in a way
terrifying.
That maybe you going outside and being like, let's do something about climate change, maybe you wouldn't, because they might not expect that from you, but in a story it'll make them go, oh, that's interesting, maybe I'll look into that.
Everyone's got like their own
delivery system,
like delivery system, or just as well, I was going to say, like special powers.
Oh,
why we talk differently. Everyone's got their own special powers, and I don't think we should feel bad that, you know, you're very, very good at writing witticisms on Twitter, that is not enough. Like, you know,
you stick
we're
to the
all
things that you're
own
good at, and storytelling
vibes.
Is a super powerful way to get to some of those issues.
We're going to play follow and follow block.
Oh, this
so
is good.
This is where it's basically, it's not shag, marry, kill, I say this every single time, but it is in a way.
Okay.
So I'm going to pick, I'm going to give you three people.
Okay.
And you just tell me whether you would follow, who would you unfollow, and who would you like fully block,
and why.
Okay, are you picking things And you do you have expectations of what I'm going to answer?
Absolutely not at all.
No. So it's not I'm making it hard for you, but we don't know.
You haven't picked the Dalai Lama.
No, no. I've actually picked, which could be quite lame, because you could be like, I actually don't know two of them or any of them. I just went off the three authors that gave you wonderful quotes for your book.
Oh.
So I've picked Stephen Fry, who loved the book, Harlan Coben, who loved the book, and Lee Child.
Right.
And so, I want you to tell me who. And I've also written a note underneath, and I was never going to say this. Absolutely. Titans of the literary world. Why have I written that?
Not wrong.
I mean, I'm not wrong. No. They're all great. Read them all. But yeah, so who would you follow, unfollow, and block out of those three?
So the question you are effectively asking me is which two-thirds of the most influential supporters I've managed to win after years of painstaking effort would I like to alienate?
Unfollow and block.
Right,
yeah,
okay, great.
It's not an easy podcast.
No, it's not.
But we did, we had to do our parents, and you know, I blocked mum.
I blocked dad, so.
Wow. Yeah.
They gave us life.
But like, you know, you can, maybe one of them will be more understanding about it, in which case you could unfollow them. You know, I'm leaving it up to you.
Okay, well.
Who are you closest to out of the three?
Fry.
Fry.
Yeah. Okay, the Fry. Cool. And I'm not close to him.
But
I've met Fry on a non-zero number of occasions, which is more than I could say for Harlan Coben or Lee Child.
Okay. Understood, right.
Yeah, I've read their stuff, but I have not ever met them.
Yours.
Oh, well, yeah.
wonderful.
Oh, God, this is really tricky. I mean, Fry tweets interesting stuff about the cricket sometimes, so I'm loath to unfollow or certainly to block that. Harlan Coben's got a very nice dog he posts about. And Lee Child is at Lee Child Reacher.
Oh, and he does the Jack Reacher.
Yeah, yeah,
Jack. Yeah, yeah. He's written 21 of these. He has just
21?
announced.
21?
I know. In 21 years.
Fuck.
I know.
What am I doing? Right, go on. Let's bash out a Jackie Reacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
But he has just announced he is slightly stepping away from Reacher. In fact, he is handing over the character, know if you could do this, to his own brother.
What?
So the first novel, the next novel in the Jack Reacher series is going to be by, I can't remember the name of his brother, it might be Peter Child. It's another of the Child siblings.
Block him.
Well, if he's going to be doing less of that, then maybe I should block. And also, I know I'm going to be seeing him reviewed everywhere anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean,
well, you can block Lee and just start following Peter.
Great point. And I'll get the same stuff through that.
Stuff. He'll probably retweet a bit of Lee. Get in.
Okay, well, all right. That feels like the Band-Aid completely ripped off. And now we're just reduced to follow and unfollow. Yeah. Gosh, do I want dog pictures or cricket updates?
Ooh,
Stephen Fry to cricket update.
A really thorny one. I think I'm going to have to stay with following Fry just because...
He is sort of like a sweet dog himself, isn't he? Like a lovely dog, like a lovely puppy. So I think that's fine.
And also, I find his bio very funny.
What's his bio?
It's Lord of Something, Prince of Something, Duke of Swimwear blogger. It's just a nice, it's just a good, silly,
solid joke, yeah.
Thing. So for that reason, and I have to stress that reason alone, I've made the choices that I've settled on.
Okay, let's have a look getting quotes for your next book.
Oh, God.
Because, of course, Harlan Coben and Lee Child will be listening to our podcast because they are absolute titans of the literary world. I mean, thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you, Andy, for
coming.
Thanks
for having me. This has been so much fun.
It's been lovely to meet you. You're a genius.
Go and buy his book, The Last Day. If in the intro and also in the podcast itself, I haven't convinced you, then just be convinced, okay? I don't know what more I can tell you than you'll love it. And you won't be able to stop reading it. I was reading it until 3 in the morning. This morning.
I love a book like that.
Oh, it's so good. And follow him at Andy Hunter M. And also for other bits that you haven't heard in the podcast, do go to our Instagram at Might Delete Later Pod, where we will have some like fun behind the scenes clips. You know the business. And live, laugh, love.
Oh my God, always live, laugh, love. Also, remember, social media isn't everything. It's meant to be fun. Mm. People change, things change. And if you really, really don't like stuff, you can just do an Andrew and delete later.
Mm. Just do an Andrew.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Hold up. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.